Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish, I'm being shady-ish.
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring! You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back to FUBAR Radio with Pulse of the Nation, with me, Andrew White. It's a joy to be in your ear holes once again. We've got some very exciting stuff coming up, not just today, but for future weeks. We've really planned ahead. We've got some gorgeous treats coming up for you. But today, specifically, I have my good friend, my returning agent of chaos, Sanjay Arif, who was already distracting me before we even came live on air. So we're going to go in interesting directions today, I'm sure. Also, already in the studio, a change of sort of schedule, we have our live mystery guest here with us, iconic for an X Factor audition that went viral. One of the OGs. The OGs of X Factor, Onkar Judge, will be joining us in just a moment. And then later in the line, we'll have star of Disney Plus's Extraordinary and indeed BAFTA winner, Luke Rollison, coming in the studio. But for now, as we do every week, let's have a quick look at some of the headlines. Now, just a bit of context here. I live in Portsmouth, not with Sanj. We don't live together, but both me and Sanjay live in Portsmouth. And me and my partner, we've just moved there. I know it's a bit of a rough place, but we're doing this thing called gentrification, where you sort of just move to a bit of a rough area and gay about the place until the house prices rise. That's what we're doing in Portsmouth. And actually, it is on the up. My mum always says to me, she says, Portsmouth is on the up. You know, the government are investing hundreds of millions of pounds into Portsmouth right now. And I go, oh, that's great. And she goes, yes, in preparation for war. I'm like, okay, that's not so great. Great mother, that's not necessarily the ideal thing I want to hear about my my housing investments, but nonetheless, it does look like she is right, because Keir Starmer has announced this week that we are upping defence spending in the UK to 2.5% of GDP in, and this is a quote, for war fighting readiness. That's what we're going towards, war fighting readiness. And God forbid we actually end up in a war, because I just think this generation, and I don't mean this in like a sort of like, oh, bring back national service, always all gone too woke. I mean, this generation just doesn't care about or love its country anymore. And I'm one of those people. I don't want to fight for them. You know, we're a generation of TikTokers and poets nowadays. Like back in the old days, you know, World War One, great poets were born out of war. You know, Wilfred Owen, Siegfried Sassoon and that. I guess the best thing we can hope for is that great soldiers are born out of poets, because otherwise we have no hope in this war. Unless Carol Ann Duffy and Michael Rosen, you know, picking up a bayonet, God knows what's going to happen. I don't think we're going to have any sort of readiness for war fighting. But that's what Keir Starmer has committed to. This is an interesting headline, maybe a bit lighter and not quite as extreme as global warfare. But the Wurzels, the hit West Country band The Wurzels, have hit the headlines for writing a song using AI, the song Wurzel Me Up. Now, I don't know if people are familiar with The Wurzels. They're sort of like a West Country staple, and just remind me, and I picked this headline because I wanted to tell the story of one of the worst gigs I've ever done in my life, when I was booked in 2019 to go on in the West Country after an hour-long Wurzels tribute act called Farmer John. And my dear friend Tom Glover posted in one of the local Facebook forums, could everyone please send their best wishes to Andrew White tonight at 11 p.m. he's going on stage in a marquee in Somerset to do 45 minutes after a Wurzels tribute band. People commented on that post as if I had died. That is the serious situation I was in. I don't think you understand. This meat raffle country in the southwest, there's one thing you cannot compete with as a comedian. It's a meat raffle, when you've got sort of crazed, you know, Devon and Dorset people wanting to like win some sausages off the local butcher. But even worse than that is if there's a meat raffle and a Wurzels tribute band. I reminisced when I found that Facebook post. So I found the actual story. So here it is for you. I actually started at 10:30 in the end, because the organizer cut Farmer John short. One man practically went to punch the landlord for telling Farmer John he only had one song left, and I feared for my life. I did 10 minutes as the entire marquee flooded out. It felt like being a Titanic violinist. About 20 of the more youthful in the crowd stayed, and we had a lovely half hour together. So there we go. A little reminiscence down sort of gig diary lanes. Sanj, I'm sure, will be absolutely bullying the hell out of me for telling anecdotes about doing gigs that went all right. But we'll come to him in a minute. Finally, did you have anything to say, Sanj?
Not this. I do remember a conversation with you earlier today.
Literally about an hour ago.
How much I hate comedians banging on about a gig they did once.
Yeah, but okay, yeah.
But I will do the showbiz thing and feign. I liked hearing that. That was very interesting.
Would you have let me stay in the Graham Norton red chair?
I would have pulled the lever.
Yeah,
I would have already pulled it. Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't know what the conclusion to that story was, because
Well, just don't care. You didn't really have a conclusion, I suppose. That is on me. I was a bit underprepared today. I've screwed up my neck. I just spent all of yesterday in pain. So if you hear the squeak of my chair, it's because I'm literally like physically turning to both of our guests today.
Don't you worry. I'm actually, even though I can see you guarding yourself mentally, I'm going to try and be as non-toxic as I can. Pick you up. We'll have a nice show. I'll be lovely. I know I'm only on this out of your fear.
This is scarier than you being mean. When you're front-footed mean, I can be ready for this.
You think something's going to come later?
Yeah.
Well, let's see how it goes.
Okay, well, I'll finish my monologue now. I'm going to fade down your mic. Okay. All right. The last thing I wanted to highlight was obviously it's Pride Month at the moment. But if you are so inclined to not be a fan of homosexuals, I don't know why you're listening to this, but nonetheless, here you are. May I point you towards Hetero Awesome Fest. This is in Boise, Idaho. As a counter to Pride, a group have created Hetero Awesome Fest. That is genuinely the title. It's going across on the 20th and 21st of June. I'm just going to quickly read you some of the bio here from Hetero Awesome Fest. This ain't your limp-wristed woke fest. It's a full-on celebration of family values with guts. We're bringing the heat with killer food, ice cold beer and bold wines, plus live music to crank the vibe. Expect riveting speeches that will wake the dead, booths from family-owned businesses and rock-solid supporters, all standing tall for our battle lines, heterosexual awesomeness. So there you go. If you're into heterosexual awesomeness, head to Boise, Idaho on the 20th and 21st of June. Now, I will bring in my co-host Sanj. Now, normally we'd have a little chat and catch. You'll be back. I faded up your mic. I've trusted you to be on the air. But actually, in a change of programme, normally you'd have a little catch-up now.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Here, sitting amongst us, a legend of X Factor, of viral success, probably one of the first people to go massively huge, we have with me. No one can judge. Only one man can judge. His name is Onkar Judge. Hello.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yes, thank you for joining us. So is this 2006 X Factor? Like one of the first ever?
2006, 19 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So this is before they even had the live. You were literally in a room with Louis and Simon. You're there in this sort of like box audition.
Exactly.
And you very famously sang Earth Song. I think a lot of people will be remember this clip. They will have seen this clip in compilations. You do a rendition of Earth Song, which Simon Cowell, let's say, is not best pleased with.
No, he wasn't, unfortunately.
No. So take us back to this day. What made you sign up for X Factor? What made you go for the big time?
Just one of those last moments in my life where we were at college performing arts, me and my mates and all that, and they said these are the final 2 days of the auditions, to sign up for the auditions, and he just like downloaded the application forms and I just filled them in and sent it off.
Well, so just spur of the moment, you just thought?
Yeah, just spur of the moment. And I used to do a lot of karaoke, like I said. I always had that high pitched voice. Can sing, but I can't sing, if you know what I mean. If I had some tuition, maybe that high-pitched voice would have taken me somewhere.
Yeah, because I will say, I listened to the clip, it's not like you're like, terribly irredeemable. It's clear you know what the tune is and everything. It's,
there's certain songs that I do still do sing, you know, I sound okay with, but at times it's that age factor maybe.
Yeah,
I think the thing is it's incredibly entertaining is the main thing, and I could see the judges obviously see the clip, and I could see the judges sitting there going like, oh, this isn't like the perfect pop tune like we would expect, but everyone responded to it well, everyone loved it because it's entertaining. Like,
well, that's what I'm all about. Like, there might be the X Factor, but I do 100% have the entertainment factor.
Yeah. Yeah, you bring the judge factor. Yeah, yeah.
I think what they wanted was right in front of them and they didn't see it.
Well, yeah, I could go back to all my childhood. From the age of 3-4, I was a Shakin' Stevens impersonator.
Oh, wow.
Because of my older sister. Then I was a Amitabh Bachchan, Bollywood legend. For personally, I loved his music, this and that. And then from the age of 21, I became a Michael Jackson fan. Yeah. And I just started dancing in the club one day and people said, you move like Michael Jackson. I thought, excuse me, I just become a fan of his, you know, now when he released the History album with You Not Alone and the Earth Song, obviously. Yeah, yeah. And it sort of the Michael Jackson tributes were in the pubs and clubs in Slough and around Windsor and Maidenhead and all that area. And it sort of grew from there. Like, I realised going back, like, I've always been that entertainer.
Yeah, yeah, you've got this natural sort of charm. And
well, that's why some people said you're going to, you know, regret if you don't give it a go. So that's what led me towards college at in my late 20s and all that. But like I said, with my little my poem, creative writing side, I've got music is my medication, dancing is my dedication, Acting is my admiration, and entertainment is my elevation.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Well, it's an interesting question about regret there. You say you're going to regret it if you don't go for it. Do you have any regrets about going on The X Factor? Because obviously at the time, this sort of notion of becoming a viral star, like, you know, or being
so,
like, picked
so how
up
did
as,
it work at the time? Like,
what do you mean on YouTube?
How did it go viral back then?
Yeah, YouTube. So it would have been organic people
it
sharing it.
To do with YouTube, yeah.
So, do you have any regrets or...
No regrets, Al. No regrets. And obviously it was 50-50. 50% of me didn't want to do it because I knew my voice wasn't there and all that, like I just said. And about 50% of that line inside me thought, all right, you've got this little option. Like Eminem says, you know, you got that one opportunity in life, just take it, you know what I mean? So I thought, wherever I... But even before I went on that audition in front of Simon Cowell, I thought, I'm not going to be the number one. Obviously, I am going to fall out somewhere and be kicked out. So I'm going to have to find that little mark, some that little phrase or something that I could leave behind and see if it ignites.
I could quote that. That audition, I love it so much. And I do have some, you must have been interviewed about this a lot, is that right?
This is the third radio interview now.
Oh, okay, because I don't want to be bored. I don't want to ask questions you've been asked over and over and over. But the audition specifically, there's a moment where you know when Michael Jackson gets pushed back by all the air in it, you fly back and you hit the wall.
Yeah.
Was that like natural? You didn't know it was like a fake wall? Because you like... I've seen the clip. You break the wall.
Well, I do, yeah. And so Simon wasn't happy about that, obviously. I thought it was going to be a bit more harder than that.
Yeah.
But obviously it was improvisation. I thought that was a solid wall, you know, because of the stage fright and the way they were looking at me. So it all sort of just came out like, you know.
Because
like,
I watched that and I think, did he do that on purpose? Did he know it was going to break? Did he do it on purpose? I'm so excited to actually ask you live.
Half of it, like I said, was improvised, rehearsed, and thought, you know, like, let's just bring the comedy out as well. And half of it was real. Half of it, I can't say that.
And there's a bit when you drop to your knees.
Yeah.
And they all go, oh my God, you must have hurt yourself. You're like, nah, it didn't hurt at all. Is that? I want to know, did you hurt your knees?
No, it didn't.
Excellent. Tough knees.
I've done many cameos recently, birthday videos, things for people, and I've always dropped on my knees.
Oh, there's a part of the cameo. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Do you want to plug that now?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, you can go follow Onca on Instagram at Onca Singh Judge. Singh, S-I-N-G-H. I know it's appropriate that your middle name is Singh, but just wanted to flag. Make sure you find the right Onca. And,
you're sort of spoilt for stage names, aren't you? There's too much you could do with this.
Yeah, you really are. You're born to be in showbiz, I think, Onca, with a name like that. You're iconic and memorable.
Well, it's got the religious side. It's got the, you know, top side as well, like the judge, facing a judge. But that's what I like. Onkar is a Sikh name. It's in the first, you know, like prayers in the morning. Ik Onkar, which means one God, one creator. And so it's a very religious name, like Joseph, Mary, blah, blah, blah. So a lot of Sikhs have that as a first name. Like, not saying there's gods on this. It's just to remember God, you know, obviously.
Of course. And speaking of judges... Obviously, you got the panel there of Simon and everyone. Simon very famously said, one of the worst I've ever heard, which I think is very, very harsh. You're absolutely, especially in the intervening years, you're definitely not one of the worst.
Oh, yes, he's seen a lot since 2006.
But I do have a question. Have you come across any of the judges since that infamous audition? Have you had a chance to catch up with Simon or anyone like that, or Louis? Or?
Not really catch up. It was the following year... some groupies on Facebook said to me, come along with us to Britain's Got Talent. I think that was the first year, the following year after my audition. Like, that was started off because maybe Simon got the idea of me that there's more to singing. You know, there's other talent out there, entertainment and juggling and blah, blah, blah. So these groupies took me to the Shaftesbury Theatre, I think it was. One of the cameramen saw me outside. Most probably he spread the story inside to Simon Cowell. I was sitting right on the end of next to the aisle, and he was just walking down it. Most probably the cameraman pointed his finger like, there he is, sitting over there. He walked past me and just jumped back like looking at me, and then he went on stage with Ant and Dick and all the others, and he said, do you remember the Onca judge from last year on X Factor? Here he is in the audience. Stand up, Onca, please. So... he's always remembered who I was, obviously. Yeah.
He didn't ask for another audition or to come up and sing on stage.
No, he didn't. But That's then, you know, I've seen him just one and never again, really. I haven't seen any other judges, no.
Because I'd love to see a super group of all the most viral acts from X Factor and Britain's Got Talent.
Because those days when X Factor was just in a room before they had their live auditions.
Yeah.
There's so many famous names that have come out of that never made out of those auditions that I think the British public have fallen in love with, yourself included. Would you ever consider that a sort of super group of Simon Cowell?
Well, there's been thoughts about it in my head, you know, ideas like, why don't you call all the rejects, you know, back there and see if they can get any like vocal tuition help and see if they can do any better.
Because I think there was there was a real element back then of the public being told what they wanted. So they had the X Factor and the judges said, oh, this is what the public want. We're going to pick the acts we want. But the public responded so well to all the, like you say, like the reject acts and stuff. That's what we want to see. Mm. And now with social media, you can reach out more and actually say, no, that's what I want to see. Like, I think if someone got on that, I can't do it. I'm not organized enough. We need someone with admin skills to jump on and start the super group. That could be huge.
Even 4 years later, you know, we had Wagner on the show a couple of weeks ago. I think that Wagner is somebody that the judges probably would have dismissed out of hand, like they did you.
Yeah.
But 4 years later, they're
doing concerts and
they
stuff,
go, oh, he's got viral potential.
Yeah.
So they pushed him all the way. And the public loved him. And I think if we got to see more of you, and I'm glad we've given you this, you know, a bit more airtime now.
Thank you very much.
No, a pleasure. Do you, my last few questions are, do you still sing and what are you up to nowadays?
Well, singing, it's just for that one song, most probably people ask for, the air song that I sing, but I don't practice. When I don't practice, obviously the voice deepens and goes, breaks up a bit. But when I'm singing in my car every day, sometimes, or even at the, you know, certain places and all that, yes, the voice builds up a little bit here and there. So it's that, it's an elastic band, as you know, a muscle that you got to keep working at and keep singing and keep taking your chances. Like, so singing, not really, but dancing, yes, I still keep dancing. I went to a 40th birthday party in March, out of the blue again, where I went to the Boogie Town Festival for a second festival in my life last year.
Yeah.
Two in a row with the Isle of Wight Festival. And there was one Instagram follower there.
No way.
Yeah.
You still get recognised.
Yeah, so he was there and he followed me on Instagram and he said, oh, Uncle Judd, you know, like months later, he said, I want you to come on my 40th birthday party. Oh,
no nice. Way.
So, you know, like, it's a small little world, as you know.
Yeah.
You know, you can see lots of familiar faces around. I've seen people on the street before X Factor, like M8, lead singer. He lives in Slough, and his mum or someone with his brother. So he was hovering around in Slough one day, and minutes later, through all the shops in Slough, I went to a record store looking for some music and all that. And he was in there again looking for, back then, the Janet Jackson single, Got Till It's Gone.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So there you go. You know, small world indeed. If you live in and around Slough, keep an eye out for Onkar Judge. And if you don't live in Slough, follow him from afar on Instagram at Onkar Singh Judge. He's still doing cameos,
maybe TikTok.
And TikTok, yes. Yeah, go follow him on TikTok.
TikTok started as like a dancing app,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
You could put up dance videos. I'm sure it will take off.
There you go. So yeah, keep an eye out for potentially Onkar's next career move into dancing. But in the meantime, we just wish you all the best. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Cheers,
it's a pleasure.
Take care.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
You don't have to. I just do. I can't hear very well.
You're such an awful co-host.
Why?
I love you so much.
What
you
did
just,
I do?
Oh, I just literally just went and with Andrew White. And then, oh, you don't have to.
Oh, we're on.
Just, yes, we're on.
Oh, sorry. Well, I was trying to look after our guests. So
that's it. Yes, to be fair, that is on me. That was a failing of mine. I apologise.
You were told to be on in 4 seconds, and you misjudged how long that was.
I don't listen. You've got my sound thing up.
I do. Yeah, I could. I could just. I'm just take you out of this whole conversation. Actually, hello, Luke Rollison.
Take me out as well.
Am I just going to monologue this whole?
Let's just turn them all off and just have a nice chat. You know, let's
stop broadcasting.
Turn off the cameras. Let's have something real.
You're back in now. Sorry, Sanj. Hello, welcome. Let me do some good sort of recapping radio. Hello, welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. We were just talking to the brilliant Onkar Judge, famous from this X Factor clip. The Earth Song singer from 2006, Encore Judge. What a lovely man he was. It was good to catch up with him. I was talking to him. My name is Andrew White, with my co-host, Sanjay Arif.
Hello, I'm very bad at this.
Yes, yes. He's a terrible little gremlin of a man. But in the studio, the seat was... There was no chance for it to get cold. Straight in, we've got another guest, the brilliant Luke Rollison. Hello.
I demanded a warm seat. I said it has to be. There is another chair in here that I've
Oh, yeah, this
in.
Was your seat.
Yeah, but I was like,
you didn't
no.
want to sit too close to me. He knew something.
Give me the hot seat. Give me the warm one. That's what I want.
Nice and warmed up seat. I'm glad we could accommodate that for you. Have you guys met? Because you must have been gigging around the same sort of time in
Brighton. I think
Brighton
we crossed paths probably like at the Brighton Fringe very long time ago. Maybe at a showcase or something.
I think we probably did an awful gig together.
Most likely.
Do you ever do one of the late night gigs that ran until like 4 a.m?
Yeah, very late. Many, yes.
A fire. I was once doing a mime bit and a fight broke out in the audience.
Oh no!
Unrelated, I think.
Are you sure they weren't arguing about what you were
doing? What is he doing?
He's trying to get out of a box.
It's a rope. It's not a rope. A big kind of fight. And I just carried up. Like, there is nothing you can do on stage through the medium of mime, or maybe at all, that's going to be more interesting than a punch-up that's happening.
I mean...
If someone's getting beaten up next to you, you're not going to be like, hey, stand to the side. Let me see what this guy's gesturing.
I want to see the mime try and break up the fight.
Yeah, that would be really... As street performers, that'd be really, really funny. Yeah. But I suppose that's hard when you're on stage and it's your show.
Yeah. No, yeah. Look this way, everybody.
I've had quite a few
you can't,
things like
miming.
That. I really promise it's not the kind of work that I create, but I was in Carlisle. I did the Carlisle Fringe right after the Edinburgh Fringe. And it was, I think, the first and maybe last time they did it. I don't know. I don't want to slag it off. But I was in a shipping container that was fully on the high street. The venue was just in the middle of the high street. You know, you went out. There was a bank there and a Ladbrokes, whatever. And, a gang of guys tried to break into the venue during my show. And... The people who were in after me were like an improv group, but they were quite big guys, this improv group. They were quite like hunky. And they were stood outside my venue flyering, and these guys were like, yeah, let us in. They're like, you can't go in. So a fight breaks out outside the venue, and I only know because one by one my audience members are like, oh, we should send someone out to like deal with that. So someone would go out to deal with it, and then someone else would be like, we should check on him. And so just like, and I was like, this is the most dramatic exodus I've ever had from a show. People going out to kind of like be called up to the war, it felt like. And I was kind of like I was like Vera Lynn on the home front, being like, we'll meet again. Hold it together, together. We can all have a nice time. You need people being thrown against the shipping container.
An improv troupe.
Yeah.
Well,
this is the thing.
Fighting football hooligans trying to be broken up by a mime is what I want to see.
That would be great. Although, and as much as that is very interesting and tantalising, the thing that sticks out to me is that an improv troupe was described as hunky. I think that's ever happened before in the history of
arts. There was
arts.
Like two of them. They were built like... bricks. I don't think they even got to do their show because like, the police showed up and were like, all right, well, you know, we have to kind of talk about this.
Yeah. Sorry, this shipping container isn't our priority at the moment. We can't get this back on the road.
Please, let us just do the show. Yeah. Then arrest us.
Well, look, thank you so much for joining us, Luke. I've got all your credits. I want to give you, if people don't know who you are, I want to read out these amazing credits. You, of course, found massive fame as Jizz Lord on the Disney Plus series Extraordinary. Still just hilarious. What a brilliant name. I'll talk to you in a minute about how it is to be remembered as Jizz Lord.
I'll say, because this isn't a censored program, right?
No, yeah, you can say what you like.
Oh, that'll be bleeped.
That's on my IMDb forever.
Beep Lord. I know, because in your Instagram bio, you have to.
I don't know if I censored Jizz. I think what happened is that I never did, and I was like, oh, I wonder if that's like, you know, like shadow banning my account in some way. Like, I'm kind of being seen as like an adult's content creator. So I changed it. Change nothing. So
also out of context. I am a Jizz Lord.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I should stop. Yeah, I was Jizz Lord for 2 years. You got it. Yeah,
that does sound like it's sort of a title you win and you had to give up Jizz Lord to somebody else. I'm no longer the Lord of Jizz.
I'm no longer the top one. I'm only a Baron.
So your performance as Jizz Lord, it may sound very silly and flippant, but you're actually listed in the Hollywood Reporter as one of the top 10 best TV performances of 2023. You've also won a BAFTA for your short film Quiet Life. You're in the latest series of Horrible Science. You've done so much, Luke. It's very impressive.
Thank you very much. It's funny with this stuff because, like, you go through periods of like basking. Like this month has been really insane because I had like three things come out, and then the BAFTAs were like on the Sunday. And I was a real dick all week. I was like, oh, I'm so stressed. Like, I'm gonna go to the BAFTAs on Sunday. What if I win? I've got to pick a speech. Genuinely, I was like, people around me were like, we despise you. go forth. But it's weird because sometimes that stuff like. You made it quite a while ago. So everyone's like looking at, you know, something's come out, you get a BAFTA for something, and people are like, wow, oh my God, you're doing so much at the moment. And I'm like, I have got nothing in the ground. It's like, I've got nothing. I'm growing. Like, so sometimes, yeah, it's a strange thing with like TV stuff, because sometimes it takes like a long time for something to come out, which is what I love, I guess, about doing live work, because it's very immediate. You can be like, I made this today, and everyone goes, maybe spend a few years on it, maybe. Come see it, you know. I love that.
Yeah, it's we
that's the whole reason I do it, is the instant
gratification. Yeah. Well, you're just an ADHD dopamine led man.
Need it.
Yes. Well, speaking of live, I should plug your Soho Theatre run, which starts tomorrow, 4th to the 7th of June. Luke Rollison, Let Down Your Hair. Take a swan dive into this physical comedy fantasia of kings and clowns and one absolutely hideous duck. That is very tempting. I want to find out about this hideous duck.
I'm interested by this duck.
Yeah.
It's hideous. This duck is hideous.
Really that bad?
I think what happened is I've got quite a grotesque face, I think. I looked at a lot of pictures of me performing, and I was always like, huh. Like, you're there like, oh, I should find like a hot one to like put online or something. Mm. And you're scrolling through them and you're like, huh. Where am I going to find that?
You looked hot at the BAFTAs, I'd say.
Yeah. I kept it. I had to keep it still and sultry. I don't smile in those photos, when they did the red carpet photos, because I always look absolutely dead behind the eyes. And you got these like paparazzi people being like, give us a smile. They're like, go on, like, show some teeth. And if I do, I just look like I'm having like a rictus grin, and I look really unhappy to be there.
Can you give us a smile right now?
Wait, but if I dodge the camera...
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. We'll put this
on camera. But if I... I'm smiling now because I'm like, ha ha ha.
This is a lovely smile.
But if I had to be like...
I see what you do.
Anyway.
It was like an instant switch from joy to fear.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's the fear in the eyes of being like, am I showing enough teeth?
Oh.
Is that it? Yeah. That's kind of what smiles are in a way. They're kind of, I don't know, evolutionarily.
Bearing your teeth, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's similar with laughter. It's sort of like a safety thing of like, oh, look, we're all okay, and we're all, there's social cohesion here, and we're not going to eat each other.
Yeah.
I'm okay here, but I might eat you.
You might eat me?
As you're showing your teeth.
Oh, Do you know Thomas Hobbes' theory of laughter?
No.
Oh, you're going to love this, guys. Come on, you're comedians. You've got to know this stuff.
Everybody.
Thomas Hobbes, you've got to know the theory behind it.
Kind of like right-wing philosopher, I suppose.
Already a great start.
When would you say it was? He's 17th century? Something like that. Oh, it was like, I guess like 17th century, I think.
We're not fact-checking.
I can see the fear in you of like, oh, what if I get this wrong, and then people online tell me I was right.
Yeah, they're going to come for me.
Just be wrong. Embrace
the Hobbesians.
Embrace the incorrect facts.
And his whole
facts.
Thing was that laughter is always about you're laughing at the defeat of an enemy. That laughter is always about superiority. I think the superiority theory of laughter, and laughter is always about your triumph and your status over something.
Well, I've just learned something about myself.
Let's not dig into that psychologically.
I think it's the only place I can find any semblance of power in my life is to make someone laugh.
Yeah,
I've done that to them. Can't do anything else.
And but, I guess, like, to a certain extent, you could even be like, well, laughter is then like other people being like, yes, you are powerful. Like, you are laughing with your
bow to you.
Yeah, it's so strange. It's such a funny... There's lots of, obviously, theories of laughter, right?
Thank you for changing my outlook on life forever.
You're welcome.
We'll see if it's for the better or the worse.
Yeah, it's going to be for the worse. I know you
Well, I don't know. I feel more embarrassed about it than embracing it. But
yeah,
laughter,
shame.
The defeat of a powerful enemy. Everyone's there like, yes,
I have defeated you all.
That'd be a good Fringe show title, actually. The defeat of a powerful enemy.
It does sound like your relationship is bad.
It'll help with difficult audiences, I think, to feel more of a power over drunk audiences.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've defeated you.
Yeah, any bad ones recently?
I'm not falling into this trap, Andrew. gosh.
Come on, that's how these promoters are running shit.
Switch the microphones off and we can just say how it is.
Okay, I love a gig story, like in the green room or in a car share.
But you don't want it publicly
out there?
Don't
want it on the radio. People don't want it. They do want to hear this. And you can't have it because I have a power over you. That's another place I can have powers by keeping information to myself.
I deliberately, last time Sam was on the radio, he had some really funny anecdotes that had recently happened. So I was like, oh, Sam, let's talk about that. And I teed him up like, oh, we were talking about bins earlier. And he went, yeah, we talked about it in the car, so why should
been
I?
Dumb.
Why would I repeat it? He's so like, once an anecdote is spent, he'll never...
I live my life for me. I don't want to hear a story I've already told.
We drove up together. I deliberately didn't talk to him about anything interesting, and he obliged by being really dull. Yeah, no, nothing interesting at all. It was,
two hours
of nothing.
You tried to save it up for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then here I am, trying to make some good radio, and Luke, you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Anecdotes are plenty. You're a joy, may I say. And here he is, just being a bastard.
I try and learn as little as possible about any situation I'm ever going to be in, so I can enter a room and be like, wow, what's this? What are these chairs?
Oh, well, I've got the perfect treat
what's
for
FUBAR?
You.
What is it?
Oh, yeah.
FUBAR, fucked up beyond all recognition, I believe it stands for.
Whoa!
Yeah.
You really can swear.
Look at the radio signals. It's a middle finger.
Oh,
On the logo. Yeah, yeah.
I know. Noticed
clever,
that
bit of fun.
That is a lovely bit of business.
I didn't realise I was partying with the bad boys.
Yeah, you're in with the cool kids now. We're going to go into a break now. We're going to maybe smoke some Mary Jane or whatever. You know, we'll be pretty cool in the break, yeah?
Mum, Dad, I'm so sorry.
We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, welcome back to the Pulse of the Nation. Your mic was down. Ha ha ha! Fuck you! I knew it!
I actually looked.
You saw that you. Oh, I knew you were going to do that. That was evil. That was Sanjay Arif there trying to create chaos. I've now brought him up. Thank you very much.
I've been put in my place. You have a power over me.
Yes, exactly. This has been a real power struggle, actually. And I think the only winner is Luke, because you've kept your cool. We've been pathetic and scrambling for attention and laughter.
I thought we were on a nice little level, even though you're in your higher seat. I liked this.
Yeah, is yours raised?
I don't think so. I think it's just the illusion because I've got all
no,
this.
No, it's
sort
raised.
Of...
Look how much higher you're.
Because you're also doing a bit
thing.
Of a slouch as well. Yeah. So you must be really tall.
Up then. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, look at this. Yeah. This is mad.
About three. Your seat's about 3 inches
that
higher.
That camera's not getting you now. That camera. There's no chance.
No, it's just on your mouth.
Let me ask Kieran, do we do this deliberately? Is there some sort of like psychological power here? No, nothing. There's nothing to it. That's what Kieran says.
Kieran's going
to
be in on it.
It's like psychological tricks.
Yeah, that I'm just. This is how I get the best out of my guests.
Here's a weird one. John Gielgud, apparently, every time he came on stage, it was in his contract that the lights had to be turned up a little bit, and every time he left the stage, it had to be turned down a little bit. And so, in the interval, everyone would go, "Wow, he really just lights up the stage."
That's great.
That's really fun.
Everywhere.
Oh, I'd love to.
When
get to
I
that
enter
level.
A room, a nice just have to pump a nice smell.
A 5% higher.
Yeah, everything's louder.
Well, you could walk in with your own sort of air freshener and just sort of follow it around.
That's really just smelling nice, isn't it? That's just, you can do that. That's achievable. I should just smell
just
nice.
Wash and stuff. Nice. Yeah. before we get into the next feature, you were asking about our jingle. Did you hear it just then? Our little FUBAR.
Yeah. Wait. Did I hear it? Yeah. Go on, play.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
That's our jingle, but you sang a beautiful little song in the break. I wondered whether you could.
I was stood at sat at a microphone, but I really just thought that was just for me. I just went FUBAR Radio. I think I used to love jingles.
That's really good. Can we clip that on the soundboard for future weeks?
This is Star. That was one, right?
This is Star.
You can clip me. You can clip me if you want.
I would love. Can we? I actually want to make you our proper sting. I'd really like that.
Because you could keep that.
Replacing that bombastic announcement with.
I think you should keep the Pulse of the Nation and then just have
on FUBAR Radio. Yeah, and do no mastering of it. Don't do
absolutely
anything
just
to make it sound
raw.
More authoritative.
Throw in a bit of on-car judge in there as well.
It really is a hard listen.
That and then FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, perfect. If we could just smash that together for next week, that'd be perfect. Thanks, Kieran.
Have you guys ever asked to be on Britain's Got Talent? Someone ever asked you to be on
Britain's
Got Talent?
Oh, yes. Almost every year they'd be in the Instagram TMs.
They're always there. They're ringing my number.
Yeah.
He's like, I just can't stop thinking about getting you on Britain's Got Talent. I got scouted for the Italian version of Britain's Got Talent.
I don't speak
Italian. They were like,
perfect.
It's fine. What you do is we've looked at your work and we think it'll perfectly translate to an Italian audience. And I was like, there's a lot of talking in what I do. I really don't think
that. Yeah, no, I have
is that like a sideways review? They're like, you don't need the talking. Yeah, you can really streamline this.
It'll make no difference or not whether or not the audience has any idea what you think is going on.
Would you be more tempted by Italy's Got Talent than Britain's Got Talent?
I think so, yeah. I think the idea of like appearing completely... I think it's the way in which... the idea that someone I know could accidentally watch Italy's Got Talent and see me
there.
It's
more anonymous,
I think,
isn't it?
Is more enjoyable. I always wanted to do Britain's Got Talent, but as a joke, and they were like, no, we want you to try. But what I felt quite good about was I was like, I don't think you'll be able to tell the difference when my work is like working or not. Like, because I do this bit, I used to do this bit in a show, and I used to gig it a lot, where I had these like two like puppets made out of sieves. And they break. That's the joke, that they break. So I'm like trying to do this like soap opera between these two sieves, and then like the mouths, you know, one of them falls off, and then you know, and you're like trying to hold together the show. And people get it, but it feels like whenever I do like an important gig and I do that, people always come up to me afterwards and they're like, pity about your props, man. But good on you. You carried on and you got some laughs. And you're like, what do you think the material was? Do you think I was just really just stood up presenting like, like check out these two puppets having a chat?
Like, when you say important gig, I'm imagining like producers and agents and stuff. And we have to be honest. And not my producer here at FUBAR, lovely Kieran. No, but I mean like comedy producers, TV producers, they are thick. And I'm willing to put that out there, even if it affects my career.
You're just going to say it right now.
I don't agree. No. I think they are wonderful, wonderful people.
I think they're smart.
Inside and out.
They've got a good eye and they can see a snitch. They can see a snitch. They can see a snitch.
Please, I want a career. I do genuinely believe it. Most
You're good at talking to adults. You'll be all right.
Yeah, I can
charm. Very good at that. Schmooze.
Yeah.
I got no hope.
No, are you schmooze at all, Luke?
I'm really, really, really bad at remembering names and faces, which means that I kind of have to approach the world now a little bit like a man who has whose kind of brain has gone vegetable. He's being kind of taken around.
You live, Sanj.
It is.
Do you know how like when an elderly,
it doesn't work for me,
like an old dignitary is taken into a room and they have like someone on hand who's like, and this is this person, and they're like, good to see you. You know, that's kind of how I have to approach most like rooms now. Like if I go to like, because I'm doing my show at Soho Theatre this week, and like that bar is like the ghost train of your acquaintances, where people are just like pop up like, and you're like, oh no, and you're there the whole time
me from the past.
Like, yeah, you have to kind of be like, hey. So I've now developed this slightly like dead behind the eyes kind of like way of interacting that means that I can kind of talk to anyone as if I've met them before or not, just in case.
Yeah, it's smart.
And it's quite, but it does make me worry about. I feel like, you know how there's all those like brain, like Sudoku or whatever, like brain training where it's like, keep your brain young. I feel like I'm accelerating to the other end.
Yeah.
I'm like, really
aging up your brain.
No, I'm putting the feet of my brain right up. I'm sinking into that couch and being like, I'm preparing myself for the moment where I am brain dead. I think that's my concern.
Well, the scary thing is that no one will realise. But oh, this,
no, really, he's like,
always been like this.
Yeah. He is dead behind the eyes. Absolutely loose, like drooling into my knees. They're like, looks fine.
He's
looks
always
fine.
Been doing that bit.
Yeah. Get him out there. Get him meeting the fans.
The red flag should be when you say yes to Britain's Got Talent. We'll airlift in and be like, no, he's actually gone.
That's
please.
When we'll be like, oh, there's a problem with Luke.
But save him
be,
or end
you'll
it.
You'll be watching and you'll be like, I can't tell. Is he trying? It looks like a catastrophe, but is that the point? I concussed myself in Edinburgh one year.
You concussed yourself? Go on.
Yeah. So I had this bit at the beginning of the show where I had a lampshade over my head. And I spent about the first 6 minutes of the show as a lamp. And it was great. Great bit. And you couldn't see my face at all. And as part of it, like I was trying to like plug myself in or something. I had like a plug running down my leg. And then I had to like flick... You know, I raise it to the plug, you know, and Peter was like, oh, he's got to plug himself in. So I'm like trying to catch it in my hand. And the bit is I flip it over and I miss and it whacks me in the face, right? And I'd done this bit like maybe 60 times. And it's like this big cushioned lampshade. I'd never had any like trouble with it at all. And the day that my agents come to the show, which is also the day that I'm got my first heat for the BBC New Comedy Award. I say first as if I travelled any further in that competition. I didn't.
The heat, yeah.
The heat. My only experience of it. And flipped up, and then I was like, wow, God, I really am sweating today. Like, I still had the lampshade over my face.
No
and
way.
I'm there being like, God, I really am like sweating. I guess it is like a hot venue. And then I can kind of hear someone in the room murmur like, is he bleeding? And I am just like, okay. And then there's a bit where I lift up the lampshade and I've got a plug socket in my mouth. Like that's where the plug socket's been the whole time. Yeah. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Normally, like a big applause break occasionally. This is a big moment. And I lift it and I hear a whole room like kind of suppress throwing up. Because I just like it's like, here comes the silly reveal. And I just lift it and my face is covered in blood. Like apparently it's like, and everyone in the room is just like, why did you make that creative choice? Like what is going on in this show? Like what's happening? Yeah, and so I for the rest of the show, I kind of was like bleeding from the head. But it was kind of like an amazing show.
Did you realize it? Did you actually realize it?
As soon as I lifted it up and everyone went like, I was like, I reckon I am covered in blood.
That's what the irony taste is.
And there was still like blood like on the inside of the lampshade for the rest of the show. And I had to put that lampshade on someone else's head later. It was crazy. That's what you have to understand about on stage injuries is that like everyone in the room is like, this is real.
Yeah.
Mm. They're all like, we are here when that happened. And it felt like amazing. My agent was like, God, that is such a brave choice. And she took me to lunch after, and I was just like dripping the whole time from my head.
I really should have stepped in and helped you.
I didn't go to hospital.
This man needs assistance.
Yeah. I did that. I dripped all over my burger. I went to the BBC New Comedy Award heat, and it was a disaster. And then I went to go see my friend, and she was like, oh, I'm really worried about you. You should sit in my show just so like, you're being looked after. I was like, yeah. Later, I was like, God, that bitch. She was like, I'm just so worried about you. And like, also, Chris had do have the Guardian in today, so you should just stay here and watch the show. I've seen this show like 3 times.
You throw up and pass out and they think that's another plant in the show.
This is real again.
And then she was like, I knew that you were in trouble and you had to go to hospital because you left that show and you said, I've got to go. I'm going to go watch a ukulele concert at midnight. And she was like, okay.
That's
and
not then normal I went, activity.
She went, I went, and then she was like, no, we've got to find him because he's got to be taken to hospital because that is not the actions of a well man.
Yeah.
I was the only person in the audience for that ukulele concert.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that you actually went through with it. No one stopped you.
Were you found at the
concert?
I went for a drink of the guy afterwards.
Was it just one man and one ukulele?
Yeah, one man, one ukulele.
A ukulele band.
You can't get 3 guys behind one ukulele. It's a one.
We know a ukulele double act.
Yes, we do. Plastic Jesus. Yeah.
Actually very good. Check them out.
Yeah, check out Plastic Jesus. We'll have them on the radio at some point. I question whether this ukulele man was real or whether he was a figment of your concussed imagination.
He was real. I didn't know him.
Do you still see him? Is he in the room with us now?
I haven't.
Just check.
I can put his mic up if you want, because that mic.
Got an empty chair here.
Yeah.
BBC New Comedy, give me another chance. Surely that can't have counted the first time.
I think you should go, hello, I know I've got a BAFTA, but I'd really love the BBC New Comedy Award. One more time, please.
I can't. That's the thing. I flunked all those kind of like new act competitions. I didn't get to any of those things, and now I can't. You'll never be like, oh no, I'm trapped in the middle.
These competitions, they matter if you win, and they absolutely don't matter if you don't. So they're sort of nothingness. Yeah, it's fine. Don't you worry about
quoting my own life advice back at me.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, Sanjay always says that to me.
I've always been consoling him when Andrew like bums out of. I went bums.
Wow.
I went homophobic.
The homophobia.
When he bombs
rampant,
out of competitions.
Here.
It's because I was trying to avoid bombs. I didn't want to go the other way.
I see.
Myself. I went homophobic against
me.
You.
Yeah.
There's well, no that's safe unfair because
I can't. I can't racism back at you. That wouldn't be fair.
Well, I think you can. You just have to face the consequences.
Nowhere safe on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah. Indeed.
FUBAR Nate Radio.
These are in 4K. Panasonic 4K.
Do you know what? We just need to stop the boat. FUBAR Radio.
My voice now. Oh, no.
Yeah, you're constantly tied to the messaging of this radio station.
Oh, no.
Look, let's take us to a different world before I accidentally slur against Sanj or something.
That'd be good.
That would be good, yeah. We're going to head into a section we call Scam Slam. So what we do is we call up a scam caller. This is a phone number that has tried to scam us before about a SIM card. We call them. They pick up and they go straight into the scam. That's the beauty of the bit. You are going to be on the call together.
Yeah.
You have to get them to hang up as quickly as possible. You have a maximum of 3 minutes. What's your strategy?
I've been thinking about this. I think we're going to get a little bit meta with it.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to pretend to be undercover policemen
and
capture them.
Very nice.
But okay, so I think we start.
Are you the good cop or the bad cop?
I think I'm the good cop.
Yeah.
And I think, here's my idea. I think there could be like a, and we'll try and work out how meta to go with it. Either like just let them try and work it out, or I take pity on them. You pretend to leave the call. Like, oh, I've got to go get like a cop. And I'll be like, listen very carefully. That man's a policeman. We're being bugged. Or something like this. Yeah, yeah. Okay. We're outside your house.
How would I go with bad cop? I'd be like, what is this about? So, why are you...
Okay, we're just going to have to throw you into it. Well, we're running out of time. We're going to call up the scam phoner right now.
But who are you? Who are you fake to me?
Bad cop.
So what?
Who are you fake to me?
No, you're both cops.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know, but we got to be... Was that a ring?
So I have to ask them about the SIM card.
Yeah, yeah. So you missed a call about your SIM card. Yeah,
okay, nice.
I'm going to talk over you as well. I think that's real.
Yeah. Hello. Hello. I think I missed a call about my SIM card. Is that right?
Yeah. What is this about?
Yes, you received my missed call, right?
Yeah. I have a missed call from this number.
Why did you miss call my son?
Sir, basically, can you please verify me your number?
Yeah, I can verify my number.
I don't know my son's number.
Are we recording this call?
I don't.
Are we recording this call?
I've pressed the button.
Okay, great. Fantastic. The number you would have called would have been 999.
No, it's not a true number, sir.
999? Police?
No, the one on there.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, my number is 07.
Yeah.
7.
07.
Yeah.
After that.
Oh.
9.
Oh.
9.
Oh.
You wish my time. 9. Right?
Oh.
7.
Oh.
Is that enough numbers?
Hello?
You got it?
I think you waste my time, sir. Right?
Oh.
We got enough.
You're calling from EE Network.
Oh.
9.
Oh.
9.
Oh.
9.
Oh.
9.
Oh.
9.
Why are you calling me, sir?
Have you written that down?
Have you got
Why
enough
are
nines?
You calling me?
Can you read that number back to me?
It's no true number, sir.
No, it's 07.
Why are you calling me? How may I help you?
We'll do it one more time. 09. Oh.
9.
Oh.
9.
Oh.
9.
Oh.
9.
Oh.
He's gone!
Yay!
Wow, okay, so you actually succeeded again to hang up. We'll get the time in a minute from Kieran. That was... I felt
such vitriol.
Yeah, a handshake between our competitors there.
Nothing for 999.
Very good. I really like that. You went in a very different direction. 2:04. That's really good.
Oh, not head of the leaderboard, though.
What did Helen and Joey do? Helen and Joey literally just yelled over him. We didn't even get to hear any of what the scam was.
Ah.
And he eventually hung up. Carly and Rachel, very good performers. I will say it was a very good acting performance, but they did go the full 3 minutes.
I've heard about the perfect finish for their one.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What happened?
Carly kept saying, my name's Barbara Potts. Barbara was an old lady called Barbara Potts. And then Rachel goes, do you even know my gran's name? And the man goes, yes, it's Barbara Potts.
Just to be certain, we are certain these guys are scammers.
They're proper scammers.
I don't think there's much checking that goes on here.
Yeah, I thought when he said, you're wasting my time.
Poor, innocent,
he was like, why are you
wage.
Calling me, sir? And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, no, don't worry. It is properly a scam.
It's 100%
call.
A scam.
Yeah. I'm going to think about this for the rest of
my life.
He
didn't even write our number down, though, so that bummed me out.
No.
it started. I don't know, 7.
If you got to the end of that
7.
And you said, can you read that back, and he actually read it back.
Oh, that would have been
That would have made my
that
life.
Been great
we
radio.
Can edit that in, can't we, Kieran?
Yeah, we'll edit that in. Kieran, you'll do the voice.
Kieran, who's going to do the Indian voice?
Stop.
Because
okay.
I think it would be derivative for me to do it.
No, you should stick around and record that for us. I've taken stuff from both of you. Luke, you've given us your voice for the song. I'm very grateful.
Oh, God.
Sanj, you're going to do a racist Indian accent after we wrap. We are wrapping up, though, I'm afraid.
Well, it's not racist.
First thing, towards the end. I've only got 20 seconds, so please let me do this, Sanj. Sanjay Arif, at Sanj Mesh. You've got a podcast called How Obsessed Are You? You can follow Onkar Judge, Onkar Singh Judge. Luke, at Luke Rollinson is a clown. It's Soho Theatre from the 4th to the 7th with Luke Rollinson, Let Down Your Hair. You can follow this show at Pulse of the _ Nation, me at Stand Up Andrew. Thank you to Kieran, thank you to Yasmin, and we'll see you next week.
Fubar Radio.